Zechariah. Just go to Malachi and go back two books. These are minor prophets, but not minor as far as the important message in these wonderful books. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. We'll read four verses here tonight. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Praise God. Amen. John Wesley was 5 years old. His family home was set on fire. They believe it was the townspeople that were rejecting his father's preaching that set the house on fire. Of course, John is just a little child, 5 years old. All the family escaped the fire. And then when they got outside of the house is burning down, and they look up to the second floor, and they see little John looking out the window. And some of the neighbors decided to make a ladder, a human ladder. And that's how they were able to get up to where he was and pulled him out of the house, out of the window, and brought him to safety just before the house collapsed. His mother, Susanna Wesley, said he was a brand plucked from the burning. A brand plucked from the burning. Someone later drew a picture of the scene of the house on fire with a little boy there in the window. And he kept that hand-drawn picture all of his life till the day he died as a reminder that God had pulled him out of the fire literally when he was 5 years old, but pulled him out of the fire of sin and judgment and used him. God showed mercy in saving him and for a divine purpose for his life. Now Zechariah, as we mentioned this morning, Zechariah was a prophet to the returning remnant, that small, compared to the Jewish population in Babylon, it was a small remnant that returned to Jerusalem and back to Israel. They came back to Israel, and as we talked this morning, they did a lot of things. They built the foundation of the temple and stopped. Then they turned their attention to their own things, their own homes, and they in essence, what they did was they neglected their spiritual life. They neglected God, and they built their own homes, went on with their lives, left the foundation sitting for 16 years, and it sat there as a reminder to them that the house of God has not been built, our spiritual lives are neglected. So Zechariah was one of the prophets. Haggai was a prophet sent to preach to this returning remnant, to tell them, you need to get things back in order. You need to build the house of God. Get your spiritual condition back in right relationship with God. And so Haggai preached to them, and Zechariah preached to them, telling them, get your heart right. Get back to God. Set your priorities straight. Amen. So Zechariah chapter 3, there's like actually seven different visions that Zechariah has in the book of Zechariah. And this is one of them, a vision that he had. And in this vision, There's three characters. You notice there in the first verse, there's Joshua, who is the high priest, who represents the nation of Israel. The high priest stood in the stead of all of the nation of Israel. And then there's the angel of the Lord, which really is the Lord Jesus himself, the Messiah. And the third character in this verse is Satan himself. So there's Joshua, the high priest, presented before the Lord, and Satan there on his right hand is also there in this vision, in this picture. Now Joshua is standing there, even though he's the priest, he's representing the whole nation of Israel and the spiritual condition that they are in. He has nothing in his hand. He has nothing good to show for the nation of Israel because they have literally turned away from the Lord. There's a song that says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked came to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace." Another old song is, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." That was Joshua and the condition of Israel, the condition that they were in. Hopelessly lost, desperately in need of mercy. And all of us tonight, and of course these testimonies tonight were right in line with what we were describing in Sister Joanna's song, what we're talking about tonight, and our need for the mercy of the Lord. And we all of us stand before a holy God, and when we come to the Lord, we don't come to him offering anything. We have nothing. We are wretched, we are sinners, we are hopelessly lost. There's no way for us to redeem ourselves. We are the vilest of sinners, every one of us, when we come into the presence of a holy God. That's what Joshua the priest symbolized. He symbolized an entire nation desperately in need of mercy. But oh, he is a God of mercy. Thank God for that. The Apostle Paul said that he was, when he described himself, I mean, even though he was religious, even though he followed the law, he had a lot of, you know, credibility as far as religious credibility, but he said of himself, "I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of sinners." 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is him describing himself, who was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. He recognized them. The awful condition that he was in, and all of us in our sin, that's what we are before the Lord. When we come before the presence of the Lord, we are guilty. We are condemned. We are in need of the mercy of the Lord. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." In a verse that was mentioned tonight from Romans chapter 8, "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That was the condition of Joshua, the priest, standing in the presence of the Lord. And in his awful condition, he was clothed, it says, in filthy garments. Filthy garments. And that was the condition of this Jewish people. They were destitute. They were backslidden. They were despicable in the condition that they were in their sinful condition. What they needed desperately was mercy from God. And that's what all of us needed. And what everyone that is not born again, you need to fall upon the mercies of the Lord. Isaiah said, "We are all an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And he stood before the Lord in the presence of the Lord in that filthy condition. And that's the condition we are in when we come before the Lord. Amen. It really is. The second person in this first verse, there's three characters, as I mentioned. Satan is there. He's the second person in this scene. It's Satan standing at the right hand to resist him. Amen. God is there providing mercy and forgiveness. Satan is there resisting what God wants to do. The Bible says he is an accuser of the brethren, who accuses him day and night before God. That's Revelation chapter 12. Satan is always opposing the work of grace in your life. Amen. He's fighting against folks getting saved. He wants to stop them from coming before the Lord. And he'll throw every excuse and everything into their mind, into their thinking, to keep them from coming to the Lord. He's always fighting against those in their sin to keep them from coming to Jesus and finding mercy. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He is an accuser of the brethren. And he wants to condemn. He's the one that condemns, as Brother Greg said here tonight. He's the condemner that brings condemnation. He wants to destroy your soul, and he never lets up. Constantly trying to oppose and resist the work of God and the grace of God. But thank God there's a third person in this story. Praise God. The third person in this vision is the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. Now, I don't know that there's any place, any precedent in the scripture. And I may be wrong. If I am, you come and bring me the verse. I don't know that there's any real precedent in the scripture for us to say or even to pray, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you. But I do believe there's precedent for us to say, the Lord rebukes you. The Lord rebukes you. The Lord said to Satan. And it's affirmed twice in this second verse. The Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem. Again, Joshua's there in his filthy rags with nothing in his hands. He represents a guilty nation desperately in need of mercy. But God says, I rebuke you, Satan, because I have chosen Jerusalem. The one that has chosen Jerusalem rebukes thee. There's a double rebuke in that verse. From the Lord Jesus. Amen. So as I said, I don't know that we have any biblical precedent for us to say in our own power, strength, I rebuke you, Satan. But I do believe you could pray, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you for what you're attempting to do. For the lies that you're telling. Opposing the work of grace. Opposing people from coming to know the Lord. Amen. The wonderful thing is that it is only Jesus, the Son of God, that can silence the voice of the enemy. Amen. Amen. He can silence the voice of the enemy. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, for what you're saying, for what you're doing, for how you're opposing the work of grace to bring people into the kingdom of God. Amen. 1 John chapter 2 says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, you have an advocate. Hallelujah. With the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So that's really the scene. Some commentators have presented this verse like it's a courtroom scene. And the guilty one stands in the courtroom before Jesus, the Son of God, who is his advocate, standing there for him. And the opposing is Satan, who's resisting what God wants to do for the nation of Israel. And then returning back to the Lord and them being forgiven of all of their backslidings. Amen. You see, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who's our heavenly lawyer, who stands up for us, who defends us, and provides forgiveness for us. And rebukes the accuser of the brethren that's working against us. Amen. So he's our heavenly lawyer that stands and pleads our case. Praise God. Amen. And he doesn't plead our case on our own merits, because our merits are nothing. We're unworthy. We're guilty. He pleads our case on the merit of what he has done, on his shed blood, on the work of Calvary, the work of the cross, and his substitutionary work for us. Hallelujah. Amen. So he pleads our case. Amen. Without Jesus Christ, our advocate, we are guilty. But because of him, he stands and pleads our cause. Amen. That's what the psalmist David said, Psalm 119. Plead my cause. Deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. David understood he was guilty, that he had failed the Lord, that he had certainly sinned against God. And so he turns to the Lord and says, plead my cause, Lord. Plead my cause. Amen. Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these? If God is for us, if he's standing in the courtroom for you, who can be against you? Glory to God. Amen. So those are the three characters in verse number one. But then his defense is he rebukes, a double rebuke of the enemy, the adversary, in verse number two. And then he says, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Praise God. What a vivid image. We are all brands or pieces of wood that are in the fires of judgment, deserving of the judgment of God. And we all have on us the smell of smoke. I mean, we are like a piece of wood consumed by fire. We're black, we're smoldering, we're smoking, we're charred. But Jesus, in his mercy, reaches into the fire of judgment and pulls us out, a brand pulled out of the fire. Praise God. Just before it's consumed, just before it's burnt up by the fires of judgment, God snatches us out of the fire of the judgment of God. And so he said, a brand plucked out of the fire. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's you and me. That's every one of us, deserving of judgment, deserving of the fire of judgment against us. And you may be thinking about ones that are on your heart that you're praying for them. But you know, God in his mercy can reach right into the fire of judgment and pluck them out. Amen. And save them. Amen. Are they worthy of his mercy? Oh no, they're not. Are they worthy? None of us are worthy of the mercy of the Lord. But God reaches into the fire of judgment and pulls us out. And we still have the smell of smoke on us. We're still charred by the fires of the judgment of God that we deserve. Amen. But God snatches us out of the fire. Amen. That's every one of us here tonight. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, it's the mercies of God. You're not consumed. It is God's faithfulness and love to us that we have been snatched out of the fire of judgment. Amen. So here's Joshua standing before the Lord. He is clothed with filthy garments, standing before the pure and the holy Son of God. What an awful feeling to come before the Lord in that terrible condition, but that's the way we all come to Jesus, do we not? Amen. We're all in our filthy rags. We're all undeserving. We're all impacted by the sin and the wickedness and the awfulness of sin and the world. The Bible says in verse 4, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can declare you clean and holy and righteous. Only he can purify your life. You can try your best. I mean, you can do your best to live right and to separate yourself, and to, you can do everything you can in your own power to try to be a righteous, godly, good person, but you're always going to come up short. Right. You're just not going to be able to stand before a holy and a righteous God in your own goodness, in your own righteousness. And the mercy of the Lord comes and says, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus, our defender, who rebukes the accuser of the brethren and destroys him and silences all of his accusation against us, he plucks us out of the fire by his mercy and saves us and washes us and gives us a change of raiment and makes us righteous before him. Amen. It's only Jesus that can take an awful wicked sinner and turn him into a saint. Only he can do that. Amen. The psalmist David, he recognized that when he prayed in Psalm 51, that psalm of repentance. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Glory to God. Amen. He knew his failure. He knew his wicked heart. He knew the sin that he had committed and his offense before God. And that's why he cried out to God, God, have mercy upon him. And Jesus, his advocate, steps up and makes him who is this wicked, sinning man into a righteous and a holy man. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Only Jesus can do that. Amen. Only Jesus can do that. He can do that for your friends, loved ones, family members, the people that you're burdened for that are away from the Lord. Even in their sin, there's no hope for them, but God can reach down and pull them as brands out of the fire. Pull them up. Out of the fire. Save them from the judgment of God and from the fires of God's judgment. 1 John chapter 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. I listened a little bit to Brother Goldeisen's funeral online, and a man that went to high school with him spoke at the beginning of the funeral and talked about how that Rich Goldeisen was a quarterback football player in the high school. He was on the track team. He was kind of a track star and had all these things going. He said he came back after Christmas of his junior year, and he said, I immediately knew something was different about him. Somehow over the Christmas break, Rich Goldeisen had got born again, had got saved. He said, I was a Methodist and we talked about Jesus, but it was usually only on Sunday. He said, but now Rich Goldeisen is talking about Jesus all the time. He said, I watched him across the lunchroom when he sat down to eat, and how he bowed his head in front of everyone else in that crowd and prayed over his food, and how he began to carry his Bible to that high school. A transformation had taken place. Amen. And he lived a life for God, lived a life preaching the word of God and loving the word of God. Praise God. Amen. Only Jesus can turn someone from a sinner to a saint. Amen. And we have Jesus Christ, who is our advocate. He's standing at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, defending us. Amen. Standing there for us. Amen. Sure, the enemy, he's never going to let up. He's going to keep pounding and tempting and hindering. He wants to stop the work of grace in your life and the lives of your friends and loved ones. He wants to hinder it and stop it if he can, but he cannot, because Jesus Christ has provided a way whereby we can be forgiven, and he will rebuke the enemy. Amen. And silence the voice of accusation. Praise God. Amen. One more verse, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sin. Only Jesus can do that. When he has by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. A completed work. A work completed. Amen. Do you know what Jesus wants to do? He wants to pull a lot of our friends and our loved ones out of the fire of judgment. Amen. He wants to pluck them as brands out of the fire. That was the message to Joshua. That was a message to the nation of Israel, that even though they'd spent 16 years ignoring God and ignoring the things of God and worship, he was saying to them, get back to God, rebuild the temple, make this the center of everything that you're doing. And that vision that came to Zechariah was a reminder to them that Jesus Christ, your advocate, is your defender. He's going to help you. He's going to silence the accuser of the brethren. It's working against you night and day. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, we can lean upon you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you pulled us up out of the fire. You plucked us out of the fire when we were undeserving and we were clothed in filthy garments. We had no good thing in us, nothing in us, Lord, to make us worthy of your mercy and your grace. And yet, Lord, you extended it to us. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that we're saved today, and it's only because of your mercy. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for the lost, the unsaved, those, Lord, that are ripe for judgment and deserving of it. But Lord, that somehow you would reach into that fire of judgment and pull them out as a brand plucked from the burning. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord, in these next coming weeks. Save, Lord, those that are so desperately lost and in need, we pray. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together, everybody.